again, we will be able to look together into the Word of God to discover truth. These days, the truth is not very happy. These days, as we are looking at Jeremiah, it goes on and on and on about God warning and God declaring what has happened to the local congregations. Now, we have been spending a lot of time in the book of Jeremiah, and we've learned repeatedly that when God is talking about the book of Jeremiah or teaching us from the book of Jeremiah, that God is teaching us about our day, that God is using what has happened to Israel back there. And when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, destroyed Jerusalem, that was actually a picture of Satan as he has come to rule in the congregations, just ahead of the fact of Judgment Day. Jeremiah 25 is a particularly outstanding chapter. God is teaching the fact that judgment is coming upon the whole world. This happens to be a chapter where God is using a series of numbers, and because of all that we've already learned about the timetable of God's salvation plan, especially as it relates to the end, we can see some very, very curious and interesting tie-ins. I'm now going back to Jeremiah 25, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and we find that without any question, it was the year 609 B.C., when Josiah was killed in battle, and Jehoiakim, his son, ascended the throne. Jehoiakim was made king in 609 B.C. So his fourth year is 605 B.C. Remember, Christ spoke in parables, and without a parable he did not speak. So we have to look at, well, what is God teaching us spiritually in all of this? The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Now, the first thing that we find here is that it's talking about the first year of King Nebuchadnezzar. First year of King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, we know, spiritually represents who? He represents Satan. Now, did Satan have a first year? Remember, we read in Revelation that Christ had the key to the pit, and he opened the pit, and he let out Satan. Satan had a final reign, a special reign, and we know that that coincided with the beginning of the Great Tribulation. That was the year that God was finished with utilizing the local congregations. We have all kinds of other evidence that points to the fact that the beginning of the Great Tribulation, in all probability, was the year 1988. And that was the first year that Satan had been let out of prison, in the sense, or let out of the pit. That is, in the sense that he was made the chief ruler of all the churches. And we see that 605 B.C. then somehow identifies with what year? What year in actuality was the first year that Satan began to reign over all the churches? The year 1988. And so we wonder, is there a relationship between those two numbers, 605 and 1988? And lo and behold, there is a relationship. It's very curious, you know. And this is one of the tests that I always apply when I see two events listed in the Bible, and I wonder, are they related to each other? One of the first tests that I always put to it is, well, let's see how many years that is between those two events. And there's two options. Inclusive or non-inclusive, so there are two possibilities. For example, if you go from from the year 10 to the year 12. That's 2 years apart. But actually, inclusive, it would be 3 years, 10, 11, and 12. And so either one is a possibility. We're going to find that God uses that also in this present passage that we're reading. Now, remember, when we looked, and I'm just going to review these things very quickly, just review. We're not going to develop these things, but remember when we were looking at the duration of the church age, you began in AD 33, ran till 1988 from all the other information, and when we, that's a period of 1955 years, and when we broke that down, we found it was made up of three very, very important numbers, 5 times 17 times 23. 5 being the number of judgment or salvation, 17 being the number of heaven, and that was the purpose of the gospel of the church age, is to declare the light of the world to the world, the heaven possibility, and 23, which always is used in the Bible to signify judgment, and the gospel as it went out throughout the church age was a two-edged sword. It was a savor of life unto life, that's 17. Of death unto death, that's 23. Now, you see, those things are not accidental. And we see, because you take any number and then try to break it down into these significant numbers like this, and you go nowhere. We really got onto this whole idea struggling years and years ago with 153 fish. That the disciples caught in John 21, 153 great fish. And you look at that, well, what in the world is 153 fish? Why not 154? Why not just a great number? Or why not some other? Why 153? And then you start breaking it down, and what is it? It's a product of 3 times 3. Purpose for the gospel. 3 times, 2 threes give you 3 to the second power, which is the purpose of God for the caretakers of the gospel, times 17, and 17 for those bringing those who are to go to heaven. And that fits perfectly with the 153 fish who the net did not break, and they were brought to shore, and so on. You see, through the use of numbers, God has given us a lot of very interesting and significant information, and it is always amazing at first. We say, oh, boy, that's sure a coincidence. But really, when we see this again and again, we know it can't be. I often think, you know, when we know that the end of the church age, the beginning of the great tribulation, and the beginning of the great tribulation is the final big event that the Bible is writing about all the way through, and it's the final wrap up of everything, and from creation to 1988, which is the number that we've come to again and again, is exactly 13,000 years, right to the year, 13,000 years. Accidental? Coincidental? I don't know. It certainly sounds like the perfect work that God does with that number 13. Or again, remember when we looked at the time from when the beginning of the flood occurred until what the Bible shows was the beginning of time of judgment, and from the flood from 4990 BC right up until 2011 is how many years? 7,000 years, right to the year, right to the year. Come on, tell me, with all, take any series of numbers remember, all these numbers come out of the Bible. All these dates, rather, come out of the Bible. And when we assemble them, we see that there is a distinct pattern. There's nothing like it's just kind of falling into place accidentally. We can look at other references, but that's just to suffice to show. Now, we're looking at the year 605 B.C., remember? Is that related in 1988? And because 605 was the first year that Nebuchadnezzar began to reign. And the first year that Nebuchadnezzar began to reign coincides with the beginning of the Great Tribulation, does it not? And the beginning of the Great Tribulation, from all the other evidence we've looked at in the Bible, is in the year 1988. And so immediately we're curious, is there a relationship between these numbers? Well, when we go from 605 B.C. to 1988, we find that is a total of 2,592 years. 2,592 years. And it breaks down to some very significant numbers. 2 to the 5th power times 3 to the 4th power. Well, now 3, what's that number signify spiritually? Purpose. The 4th power, the number 4, that's when I say 4th power, for those who are not mathematicians, that simply means 3 times 3 times 3 times 3, 4 threes. And so you have the number 3 and you have the number 4 featured because there were 4 threes. Now what does the number 4 signify? The end, the extremity, the very end. Number 3, purpose. This is the purpose of God for the end. Now it times 2, times 2, times 2, times 2, times 2. 5 twos. We say that's to the 5th power. That's 5 twos. Well, what does the number 2 signify? Concerning the caretaking of the gospel. Okay, the caretaking of the gospel. And remember that in the year 1988, or the first year of the Great Tribulation, the gospel came to an end temporarily. Absolutely came to an end. It came to an end. And because for a brief period, that half hour of silence, no one was being saved in the world. And so 1988 is a very significant year from that standpoint. And 2 to the 5th and the number 5, what does it signify? God's salvation and God's judgment. And so we see that in this passage where God is referring to the 4th year of Jehoiakim, and incidentally, the 4th year of Jehoiakim, that number 4 again is a number that signifies the extremity, the end. It is a veiled reference to the fact God is saying, I'm talking about the very end. I'm talking about the end of something here, at which time Nebuchadnezzar will have his first year. That is, Satan will rule within the churches. And so we see that tie-in. Well, now, the next number that we look at here, it says in verse 3, from the 13th year of Josiah. Now, we've already learned in the historical setting that the 13th year was year 627 B.C., and that's not a particularly significant year except to tell us that Jeremiah actually prophesied for 40 years from 627 to 587 B.C., when Judah was destroyed by Babylon. But from the 13th year, what else happened? The 13th. What year was the 13,000th anniversary of the history of the world? The 13,000th anniversary. We've already mentioned it. It's the year 1988. Exactly 13,000 years. From the 13th year, that is, God is at least giving us a little bit of a nudge here, from the 13,000th year point, that is when the church age is finished. Now for 23 years, I have spoken, and you have not obeyed. He says, I and the Lord has sent me, verse 4, Are you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them? But ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. And in other words, this is a veiled reference to the fact that at least a suggestion, it's not anything we can build a case on, but it fits into the other language of the Bible in a very curious way. For 23 years I have spoken and you will not obey. And as a matter of fact, all the rest of the Bible indicates, no, they will not obey because God has abandoned the local congregations. This 23 years is in a certain sense is making reference to the 23 years of the Great Tribulation, that began in the year 1988, from everything we can read in the Bible. And now notice how God came to this 23rd year. He's talking about, let's go back to the historical setting. It began in the 13th year of Josiah. And remember, we saw that was 627 B.C. This is the year 605 B.C. Now, and he's saying this is the 23rd year. Well, now, if we go from 605, that is from 627 to 605 in the historical setting, what do you get? You subtract 605 from 627, you get 22 years. But this says 23 years. Is that true? Has God made a mistake? Or have we made a mistake somewhere? No, there's no mistake at all. This is another evidence how God uses his numbers in working out his time paths, because this is the 23rd year. You see, 627 was the first year, the next year was 526, or 626 rather, because the numbers are going down. That would be 1 year. But it was the second year inclusive. The next year from 627 to 626, you have the year 627 and the year 626. And so it's 2 years. And so likewise, from 627 BC to 605 BC, it's 22 years, but if we make it inclusive, counting both the year 605 and 627, you get 23 years, and that's the way God is counting here. It is a proof to us that when we are working with the numbers of the Bible and trying to find out their meaning or trying to find out how important they are, that sometimes God just goes from the way we normally go from 1 year to another, and sometimes he adds 1 year by making it inclusive, by adding that last year in as well as the years that came before. And this again is the way God has taught us in the Bible. He has given us an example here of saying that this year 605 was the 23rd year, and the only way we can come to it is by looking at it as inclusive, as being counted along with the year 627 BC and all the years that intervene. All right, so what we see here, that God in this introduction, and I know in this study, we've looked very, very quickly at a whole lot of numbers, and a lot of people are listening right now, and they're saying, oh, brother, what does all this mean? It's just a bunch of numbers. But I'll tell you, when you examine this very carefully and write these numbers down and look at them, you find that there's a harmony about this. There is this is not gibberish. This is not erratic. This is not haphazard. God has a very, very well-defined plan. And when he has brought together here the king of Babylon, and when he began to reign, and he's brought in that the time of the beginning of the Great Tribulation and the end of the world and the beginning all together in this passage, There's a whole lot of information here that God has brought together, which we could never, never, never begin to find or understand or get an inkling to unless we had done all the other work going through the rest of the Bible to find all the other time references that God has given. But this is simply another evidence that this whole business is God's business. He has set it all up, and it all fits together in a very, very beautiful way. Now, again, remember I said when you're looking from one time to another, and it doesn't break down into significant numbers, generally speaking, you're on the wrong track. I found this again and again, that if you just see two numbers that look like they're that they ought to relate to each other, and then you try to relate them to each other, and they don't break down into significant numbers, generally I've found no. You are trying to find some information here that doesn't exist, because God chooses numbers very carefully. Or to say it the other way, if you just take any two numbers, or take any number you want, just pick a number at random, 591 or 2,428 or whatever it is, and try to break it down and see if it breaks down into very significant biblical numbers, and normally it will not. Once in a while you might find a number that does, but then of course if it doesn't relate to anything in the Bible, you still have no information. But when you find the combination, that it's a number that identifies with events in the Bible, and at the same time will break down into significant numbers like we've indicated in this study, then you know that God is giving us further evidence. He's building the case. He is giving us further indicators that you are beginning to understand this correctly. Well, so it be. Let's go on. In verse 4, the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. Now remember, Christ here is speaking to the local congregations. Again and again, we've seen this in the book of Jeremiah. And all through the time of the Great Tribulation, because this is the period that God really has in view at this point, although it really reaches back to the whole church age. And throughout the church age, there has been a lot of not listening to the Word of God. The churches have gone their own way. They've established their own doctrines. And in spite of that, God has remained there as the ruler in the churches, and he's applied the Word of God to those who were the elect so that some people did become saved. Remember we read in Romans 9 that though Israel be as the sand of the sea, and so there are hundreds of millions of people who call themselves Christian, yet there is a remnant that will be saved. And so out of all those, in spite of the carelessness and the callousness and so on of the local congregations, there have been a remnant that have been saved. But during the Great Tribulation, this final 23 years that we've already found a reference to here, no one. He says that you have not inclined your ear to hear. Even though the message, and the message still goes. You know, people in the churches today, are they hearing the message that they have to turn to God? Of course they are. Of course they're hearing it. Many people are listening to family radio, and they're still members of the churches, and they love the music, and they love a lot of the things that are being stated. Oh, as long as you don't talk about the end of the church age, then they turn a deaf ear. But they are hearing, but they're not repenting. There is no turning. This is what this is talking about. Next time we're going to go right on in verse 5, and this is an exceedingly interesting chapter that ties in right with our day.